I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2. On 670, the...
Herb Howard from the Herb Howard Show, Bears reporter for the Bigs Media. You can find him on YouTube. You can find him on Twitter. And now we can find him in studio with us. Unsolved Mysteries. I don't know who has the closest voice to Robert Stack.
Join me. Perhaps you may be able to help solve a mystery.
There's an image of the Bears where Ben Johnson takes his shirt off. And it's art because the reactions are amazing. And they go back for waves and waves. And in the very back, you see somebody punching the ceiling.
Punch their tickets to an all-night ceiling, go around.
He's so light-skinned. There's not a ton of those guys on the team. Of
is
that
he light-skinned
size.
Or is he just not dark-skinned? That's the thing. The lighting.
No, he's not white.
No. I'm saying, like, you can be not light-skinned, but just not be dark-skinned. Like, it could be just a regular shade of black,
medium?
But because it's so far back
okay.
With the
and
lighting.
And he's in the light.
He never forgets a face. He has a photographic memory.
It's a terrible thing that's happened here, Lieutenant. I really do hope you find the people responsible.
Well, I'm sorry I can't be more optimistic, Doctor, but we have a long road ahead of us.
I said to Nishant, I was like, hey, who punched the ceiling? Is it Daniel Hardy? He's like, Daniel Hardy has longer hair, so it's not him. And then I was like, all right, so he's eliminated one.
Could be J.O.
You know who a lot of people think it is? DJ Moore.
I mean, you'd be damned if you do, damned if you don't.
DJ got hops like that, or is he hopping off of something else? Like, how high is the ceiling?
I think he's on something.
Yeah, I think they're on something, the locker or chair or whatever.
I gave someone all the hops for that punch in my mind because I didn't even consider that they were standing on something. I was like, oh, they were so hyped. They did the Super Mario.
I think if we get the reporters on the beat together, they
can
figure
it
out. Yeah, together as a group.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Wait a second. Have we gotten any closer to solving that mystery yet? Who punched the ceiling in Philly? Bears aren't snitching, are they?
That's going to go with them at least through the end of this season. You might get something in the offseason if they say, I don't know, win the Super Bowl.
No, you know how Philly is. They'll be like, here's a bill for your ceiling tile. It is $1 million.
That's something that could really happen, especially out of the anguish of what happened on the field prior to the ceiling being punched.
In that case, is the ceiling the roof?
The ceiling may indeed be the roof as far as that goes. Specifically,
we will continue to track this developing story. This is Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, Mark Grody will join us from Hallis Hall at 125. He is reporting today. And in the meantime, we are enjoying Packers week. Apparently, guys, crew, Ray Diaz, Tyler Buterbaugh, Brandon Fryer, if you're listening, there is something called the playoff machine on ESPN. Machine, you say? Sack machine? No. Playoff machine. On The Athletic, there is a playoff simulator.
That's the preferred method. It's beautiful. The playoff simulator is a thing of beauty.
Listen here. You know I love the NBA trade machine.
Oh, well, that's a different thing. The Bulls don't have enough to enter. They don't have enough tickets to get anything going with that.
Well, you know, the Luka Doncic trade, for example, did not go through on the trade machine, but went through in real life. So there's always a chance.
Okay, that's fair.
We've talked about how for the Bears, if you're just looking at it from, you don't care about who the opponent is, right? You're just looking at this from the pure playoff possibility. If the Bears win at Lambeau, they have a 64% chance to win the NFC North. That is according to ESPN. Then there is the pride factor of this game. They took one from Lambeau last season, this calendar year. It was in January. To end the year, you have every reason to believe the Bears, even though I know at least it opened at a 7-point spread, the Bears are still going to fight in this game. They have a solid chance of winning yet again. I also know that in the NFL, you typically lose a game you're supposed to win, and you typically win a game you're supposed to lose. That usually happens to a team during this schedule in the season. So I have to ask this question, because we've talked all about the possibilities of where the first place in the NFC Bears are. I think it's fair to also ask, what if they lose? Like, I know it stinks. I don't like going to the dark places in my mind. But you have to ask yourself, is it going to be as demoralizing as past years if they lose? Is it going to be as frustrating? You get the Packers again in 2 weeks at home. I don't necessarily know if that's a good or a bad thing. I just know that's how the schedule plays out. At least it's going to be fresh. I tend to think that Ben Johnson is a coach, from what I've seen in Detroit. He will hold some stuff back from the first meeting to have the second meeting go differently. I think we saw that with the Vikings game so far. But it's a fair question to ask. It's at Lambeau. That would be 4 straight road wins for the Bears. So you're asking yourself, what if they lose? Is it the worst thing in the world? I tend to think it's not nearly as bad as it has been in years past.
Absolutely. I think that's the number one answer is, yeah, it's bad if they lose, but not nearly as bad as it would have been many, many, many years past, many, many seasons past. And I think the biggest thing is, understand this, if they lose, you mentioned the Athletic playoff predictor, or excuse me, simulator. If they lose, they still have a 71% chance to make the playoffs.
Okay, so you still like your chances. The math is still mathing for you at that point.
The chance of you winning the division falls to 26%.
I mean, it's that's dangerous.
But here's the beautiful thing about this simulator. I can just click a button and see, okay, you lost on the road, but you beat the Packers at home. You know what the percentage chance is you win the division if you get the split? 50% straight up. Mm. It's just 50%. That's good. That's great, actually.
I mean, that's 4 road wins in a row. If you blind item that, if you say X NFL team has won 4 straight on the road, starting with, at that point, it was November 2nd, in the hardest part of your schedule, theoretically, that is a flex. Like that would be, and I said this before, I said it in my post-game video that I do on my YouTube, my Instagram, TikTok, if you're into it. What else do people need to see in order to believe this team has had significant improvement? And I think there are some fans. I got comments and responses saying it's to beat the Packers. Is it to beat the Packers on the road, or is it to beat them at home at Soldier Field? Would you accept a split of that series, or does it need to be 2 wins against the Packers?
I think you would sign up for a split with the Packers today. The Packers are a very good team with arguably the best defense in the NFL. If you told me right now, today, you can either get a split with the Packers or you don't know what's going to happen, you would take the split.
And I can see how this gets used, like, oh, Bears fans are already scared. Listen to them asking the question, what if they lose? I just think this is a normal thought process to go through. Like, you have to at least address it and understand how it fits into the grand scope of the season. Our segment on Raheemy Harrison Grody is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
I thought it was an interesting concept you brought up with the fact that maybe Ben Johnson will hold a little something back for his next meeting with the Packers.
I think he does that.
I don't even know if it's that deep, though. I just think Ben Johnson has so many plays, so many concepts that he could just plug them in for this week, next week against the Browns, Packers, and never run out of ideas.
I do think that he is not short on ideas. This is a man who knows how to build a playbook, not just memorize somebody else's. Carmen Vitale will, I think, give us a lot of insight on that idea. She comes in with us at 1 o'clock here in studio. She's covered the NFC North for years. So I feel like she's a really good person to bounce all of this off of. But even already on our text line, you can call us 231-2644-6767 is the number for both. We're getting different replies on this. 847 says extra demoralizing this year. And then another text says, 309, it's about if they lose, how did they lose? Blowout or a close game? That factors into this too. Can you see it being a blowout, knowing how the Bears have played opponents in the fourth quarter recently?
I don't think I can see a blowout either way, just because the nature of this game, the two teams and the quality of play that they've distributed, and the fact that the Bears are getting healthier on defense. I think that's the number one thing for me. It's not so much what the Bears are doing offensively, it's how healthy the Bears are getting on defense. I think they can put up, especially in the context of snow showers possibly in the forecast on Sunday, this could be an ugly game.
Winter is coming.
Oh, it's been here.
Technically, it doesn't start for another few weeks.
I noticed the sun was shining today. Can I tell you how thankful I was that we saw the sun today?
Yeah, according to meteorology and science, the sun is going to set earlier from now on, but we still lose daylight to begin with. So that's why the days still get shorter. But it's setting later, so that's good.
That was a very stark and real thing that you just said, and I don't know if I'm ready to accept it.
What? That the sun is setting later?
Yeah, and that the days are still shorter. That part.
Yeah. See, that's kind of like this conversation.
Okay.
Like, we're like, well, you've improved, but how much have you improved? Have you improved enough to beat the team everybody hates?
I think it's a combination of things, right? You're so high on what the Bears have done in winning 9 of 10 games after the 0-2 start, right? But at the same time, you understand there are other teams in the NFL who have good players, who have good to great coaches, who also get paid to play and coach the game. And so it's unrealistic to think that they're just going to win every game on the right. Like, no one's out here saying the Bears are going 14-3. So where are the losses coming from?
Well, and that's it. And you go 5-0 in the month of November, and unfortunately, you're probably due. Like, that's the hard part about this. How much of a difference does Micah Parsons make with his speed, being able to chase down Caleb Williams, perhaps like no other pass rusher we've seen this year in the NFL?
Do you remember back in week 1 when the Packers played the Lions and you're like, oh, Micah Parsons hasn't really done much in this game. And then at the end of the game, Jared Goff is out here getting hawked down. And I was like, oh, yeah, Micah Parsons, if you slow down, he's not.
That was the sobering thought for me. That was the game-changing game. That was a statement that was made, was that first game against the Lions where I'm going, oh, okay. Somebody came up motivated. A motivated Micah Parsons, a motivated Green Bay team. But then you lean on the fact that the Bears have beaten the Packers in Lambeau in 2025.
I go back to the teams that the Packers have lost to this season or tied.
The Browns?
This season. Yeah, the Browns come to mind. In an ugly game? Like, where's that Jordan Love? Oh, wait, you don't have Myles Garrett.
But here's the problem is, where's that pass rush to answer with? You know, that's Myles Garrett in them, as we like to say. That pass rush has to be there. You know, that's a good blueprint to draw from, is how that game was won by the Browns. It was also that last-second field goal. That was the weekend where everything seemed to hinge on a last-second field goal in the NFL that week. But like we've said before, their offense is not exactly consistent. You know, they scored 10 points in that loss to the Browns, and then they come out and tie the Cowboys with 40 each.
Well, the Cowboys defense was on the field. First half Cowboys defense. Yeah, first half of the season Cowboys
defense. Yeah, first half of the season Cowboys defense was atrocious. They scored 27 points, but they held the Bengals to 18. The Bears defense did not do that. But we know the Bears defense is way more injured. They beat the Cardinals in Arizona 27-23. They beat the Steelers 35-25, but then they lost to the Panthers, clunker, 16-13. Clunker against the Eagles, 10-7. They scored 31 points in the Lions against the Lions. That's probably their best game of the season, what we saw them do against the Lions.
The question comes our way from 309 on the text line, Layla.
Yes.
Say the Bears beat the Browns and pick up one game from the remaining three division games. Is that enough to win the division?
I don't think it is, probably. I think it's you're still looking at making the playoffs because of the money in the bank you've got already. But I don't think it is based on whichever you prefer, playoff machine, playoff simulator. We'd have to do the math on that and run it through the simulator.
It's pretty simple to me on this. The Bears, unfortunately, started 0-2 in the division when you look at how their season started. Meanwhile, the Packers are running through the division. You need at least a 3-3 division record with one of those three wins being against the Packers to be in good shape to win the division. At least a 3-3 division record. Right now, they are not there. And they've got no wins against the Packers. They've got no wins against the Lions. So they need to beat the Lions and win one of the two games against the Packers. Or they could just sweep the Packers, and that would probably give them the division.
So that is your Marshall playoff machine. Either way, I'm still not at the point yet where I'm saying to myself, give me the division. You want to take the North, but I'm not there yet with this. We knew this was going to be a difficult part of the schedule. The hardest part there is at the end. We knew the strength of schedule would be a problem. So I think that because of all of that, if they lose, I'm still not at a panic meter.
No.
I'm nowhere near a panic meter. Will it suck? Yes. Will you be annoyed? Yes. Will you be that much more hype for the game on Saturday night, November 20th at Soldier Field? Oh, yeah.
As long as they beat the Browns in between. Yes, absolutely. To everything you just said, as long as they beat the Browns. The Browns look like a trap game if I've ever seen a trap game.
I really am treating this Browns game like a formality.
You can't do that.
I am the athlete who falls for all the traps.
That's what the Packers did.
I'm not looking ahead. I'd be sitting there in the locker room being like, I'm not looking ahead like that. No, I was absolutely looking ahead.
Unfortunately, the division itself goes through Green Bay because the Packers, as I said, while the Bears were stumbling out of the gate, the Packers are 3-0 in the division. Even if they get a split, first tiebreaker would then be division record, and the Packers are probably going to be in control of that one because their only other game left is against Minnesota.
Here's the thing. I think it's even cooler than that, Mars Hall Harris.
Tell me why.
I think if you want to win the division now, you got to go through the Bears. If the Packers want to win the North or make the playoffs or anything that they want to do, they have to take at least one game from the Bears.
Yes, but if the Bears want to beat the Packers, they have to take at least one game from the Packers and beat the Lions. That's the difference.
That Lions game was a clunker. And the Layla Rahimi clunker scale, that clunker. Even though they scored 21 points, clunk. It's the reason they're... Point differential is so bad.
Hey, they're positive now. Plus six.
Now?
Plus six.
It took December.
Only took 11 more games to get back on the positive side.
They had to climb out of the mud.
Excuse me, 10 more games. That was the second game of the season.
No, Green Bay, you got to come through the Bears. But if you take one, I'm still not stressed.
No, not stressed at all. But if you want to win the NFC, the whole conference, and get the bye in the first round, you best win at Lambeau.
And yeah, 815 brings up a good point, too. The dumbest point, but the best point. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It was brought up by you well. It exists for stupid reasons. Tiebreaker won't matter with Green Bay because of their tie with the Cowboys. So.
Yeah, they have
There is
just...
no tiebreaker. The tie broke the tiebreaker.
Yes.
I hate it.
If they lose to if they lose to Green Bay, they'll both have 9 wins, though, and that's why that's... Not great.
847, good question. Should we thank the Minnesota Vikings for totally screwing up their quarterback situation in the first round quarterback controversy? What a bad decision going to haunt them for years. I'm not there yet with it, but I don't exactly hate your question. Does that make sense? We have more coming up here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You've been texting us and calling us on our Score text line, 312-644-6767. When we have breaking news on The Score, it's brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. You hang out with us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. The Twitch mob is chatting. They're there for you. It's a show within a show. Connor O'Donnell mans our Twitch chat. Our video team, along with Connor, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis, they do a great job. Ray Diaz, Tyler Buterbaugh, and Brandon Fryer are our producers today. And when we come back, not only do I think Lou Kanellis scooped Sham Sharania, how do we explain this?
Oh, we're going to explain it. We'll let Lou do a little bit of explaining.
I don't know that we can explain it. So Giannis might want to come here, but I don't know that the Bulls are down with it, and I don't know how to feel about this, so let's do all of that next.
Playoffs?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's Giannis open three. You got to be kidding me. He is doing it all. And Billy Donovan calls a timeout.
We've heard that a few times, that whole sequence. That's Chuck Swirsky, of course. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And I'm going to admit this. I had to rewind this several times because I was like, wait a second, Mullion Haw. This is an excerpt from Lou Kanellis on Fox 32 last night. And Mullion Haw brought it up this morning. That's where I heard it. Lou, of course, a good friend of the show. We go on Lou's show on Fox with him, Tina Wynn, and Cassie Carlson. And I still can't wrap my head around this. Oh, by the way, the Bulls lost last night to the Nets. The Nets, who were 4-16, that was 113-103 at the United Center. Yada, yada, yada. Frustrating. They're now 9-12. So, that said, last night, Fox, Mullion Haw brought it up this morning on their show. Lou Kanellis shared a report about Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you remember, yesterday, Sham Sharania, about the time we got off our show at 2:15 or so to make way for Spiegel and Holmes, said that Giannis was having talks about his future. This has been percolating now for over a year. The idea of Giannis going somewhere else in the NBA, it's just a matter of how, and my goodness, what trade would have to happen. And we joked about it being the Bulls because Giannis loves Av Lee. He goes to Lou's restaurant there in Milwaukee. He is Greek, so is Lou. Could there possibly be a connection? Because there is a connection between Giannis and Lou to an extent, which is why this is wild.
I can tell you
that Giannis and his representatives reached out to the Bulls about a potential deal, and the Bulls said they weren't interested. They were not interested in breaking up their young core or changing their course of direction that they have laid out with AK and Mark Eversley right now. Maybe things have changed.
I'm going to need a minute to process that.
Oh, no!
David Haw is all of us. I need you to play it again. I need you to hear what I heard again. And I know that's going to take some time because our system doesn't do that easily for some reason, and that stinks. But yes, it is correct. Okay, let's do this again because I am as shocked as anybody to hear this.
I can tell you that Giannis and his representatives reached out to the Bulls about a potential deal, and the Bulls said they weren't interested. They were not interested in breaking up their young core or changing their course of direction that they have laid out with AK and Mark Eversley right now. Maybe things have changed.
I'm going to need a minute to process that.
What? How many minutes do you need, David? I'm going to need minutes for the rest of my life.
I almost had a heart attack.
Here's the thing.
How do you have that, Tyler? Why is that on the ready?
Here's the thing.
I have too many Chuck drops.
So good.
And Chuck is all of us also. Because Chuck had to call that game last night in which the team that scores the fewest points per game outscored the Chicago Bulls. The latest indictment of a team that's suffering right now because the majority of their good players are unhealthy.
I told you about the game. And I mentioned the lobster bisque.
And so I listened to this, and I am somewhat unsurprised by this revelation. And I don't know if this says more about the Bulls or that says more about my expectations of the Bulls.
No, this says more about the Bulls.
Because, yeah, but they are who we thought they are. They fill up the building. People are happy to show up. They're in the range of we're going to be in the play-in. They're not going to be a lottery team. They're not going to hit the reset button.
Would Giannis not fill up the building?
Giannis would fill up the building, but at what cost, Layla? You are familiar now with both the first and second apron. Giannis is making $50+ million with an escalating salary each of the next 3, if not 4 years. I understand what you're saying. You got to pay people to get the best players. You should be in a position where when someone becomes available, you're right there in the hunt.
All right. It's here's the thing. Yes, it's $50 million. Yes, the Bulls know how to deal with a max contract. Dare I say they know how to deal with a supermax. I don't question their math skills on this. And the contracts that surround it would indicate that they could probably afford it. But here's the other piece of this. Okay, say it is Josh Giddey or Modest Bouzelis. That's who the young core is that I assume is being discussed in this.
Well, you kind of need more than one player because it's Modest, definitely. But you're trying to figure out, well, who else are they talking about?
It's such a big idea that it would change the entire concept around the team. It would change how the NBA looked at the Bulls if they did a deal like this. It would therefore alter free agency.
Yes.
It stinks that I can't talk about this with a plethora of draft picks. We're not talking about Sam Presti here right now.
Why can't you talk about it with a plethora of draft picks?
I guarantee you this. I think Sam Presti would find a way to do that deal, don't you?
No.
In Oklahoma City?
No. Sam Presti has a one-loss team, the best team, and the favorites to repeat as NBA champions. He has no use for Giannis.
I think any manager worth their salt would try to get the deal done.
I completely disagree. If you're in a small market such as Oklahoma City,
Giannis doesn't want to go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, there's no need for them to get Giannis.
But if I have the assets to possibly do it, man.
Oh no! Yes, I think that's the key phrase. If I have the assets to possibly
do it, which the Oklahoma City Thunder did, for example, that's kind of why I brought them.
Well,
up.
But it would make no sense for Oklahoma City to go after Giannis. It makes no sense.
From a
money standpoint, it makes no sense. The Bulls have made it a money standpoint thing by their refusal to be in a position to go after Giannis.
One of the best players in the NBA, of the top 10 players in the NBA,
yes.
who's dealt it to you his entire career, and frankly saw you in one of your only playoff appearances in the last however long. You know, in this modern era of this team. So that said, wants to come here.
kicking the tires.
Wants to be here. Giannis wants to be here. We joked about it. We had fun with it. We're like, oh, Avli, whatever. Come on. How much draft capital do they have to work with? That's why I brought up Sam Presti. You know that. You know that deep down.
I know that because the Bulls had to make a trade last year just to get their own pick back in the 2025 draft. Who'd they take with that pick?
Noah Essanga.
And when's the next time you're going to see Noah Essanga?
He is reportedly out for the season after yesterday because he needs shoulder surgery.
That's what Billy Donovan told reporters. So your guy's out for the season. And a reminder, the Bulls could have had an unprotected pick from the Pelicans. And now you're like, oh, wait, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Joe Dumars, the president of basketball operations, was very clear into who he was making picks available for. Listen to this.
After we drafted 7, we started from 9 and went all the way until we got a deal. And you don't pull the trigger on the asset next year until you get that deal. Otherwise, you keep it. But here's what I've said to the staff. When you identify a player that you think this can be one of the foundations here, you go and get them. And that's what we did. I mean, like, we targeted Queen. We thought he could be a heck of an addition here. And we were really aggressive about going and getting him in this draft.
So they went out.
And by the way, nice pickup by them while we're here.
They end up starting at 9, trying to trade up from their spot in the draft, the number 23 pick in the draft. They're like, we'll give you the number 23 pick and an unprotected first round pick in next year's draft, the 2026 draft. Did it happen at 10? No. Did it happen at 11? No. At 12, the Bulls got a phone call. They said no.
For Noah.
No Essanga. For Noah.
Not Joakim.
No for Noah Essanga. They drafted him. The Pelicans then get the pick done with the very next pick, and they got Derek Queen, who I'm just going to go out on a limb and say is a better player than Noah Essanga now and will be in 4 or 5 years whenever both players are fully developed.
So while you sit there looking into the distance at the draft picks you don't have and think about the fact that Desmond Bane fetched 4, while you think about that, also consider this. There are other teams involved in this conversation, according to Lou. And it is the teams you want to be mentioned alongside.
Maybe things have changed with the latest report from ESPN about the Bulls maybe kicking the tires on Anthony Davis. I can tell you this for a fact. A few months ago, Giannis wanted to be traded. His first choice, New York with the Knicks. Knicks wouldn't move off, would not offer more than just Karl Anthony Towns. And it just wasn't going to work with the Milwaukee Bucks if they were going to give up Giannis Antetokounmpo. I can tell you that the Lakers inquired and Luka Doncic himself inquired, trying to see if the Lakers could work out a deal with the Milwaukee Bucks. One of the other things, now remember, Giannis wants to leave because he wants to win. He's going to be 31 this month. He wants a chance at another championship. He does not want to go to a franchise that is going to gut themselves to get him and his contract. So he does not want to go somewhere where he's the only guy that can score and average double digits and carry another team. If that's the case, he may as well stay in Milwaukee. So he wants to go to a situation in which he can win. I think the Knicks are still a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if the wheels came off at some point before the trade deadline, that New York got back into the trade mix. Don't count out Miami. He wants to go to a major market, and I will leave you with this. His wife and kids aren't in Milwaukee. They moved back to Greece. So he is by himself with his brothers in Milwaukee right now. So his allegiance to Milwaukee is no longer there. He wants to be in a situation where he can win. He wanted to come to Chicago. I'd love to see him in Chicago. You would love to see him in Chicago. But the Bulls would have to sit down and say, hey, listen, we're then prepared to break up our young core.
I am begging whoever it is that needs to listen. This would change the current trajectory of the Bulls franchise, expedite a timeline, still fill your building, and push this team, I think, ahead of the original schedule in a way that maybe you don't even understand because of what would happen in the ensuing offseason. Trade draft picks into 2050 for all I care. They haven't been afraid to trade first-rounders before like they did to get DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic. So do it again.
Do you think...
He wants to win. Did you hear Lou Cannella say that?
But did you hear the part where Lou said he doesn't want to go to a team where if he goes there, he's the one having to do all the heavy lifting? Like, he's got to have help. And if they make the trade, who would they have to give up to get Giannis? In your mind, right now.
I mean, clearly the Bulls probably think they would have to give up either or, and if not both, you know, Giddy and Modest. You heard the Knicks say that Karl Anthony Towns was the price. If I'm the Knicks, I'm doing this deal immediately, by the way. I'm figuring it out.
I didn't understand that.
Well, I think it's because of the draft capital concern. Draft capital has become that precious.
Can you tell that to the people down at the United Center?
I don't know. I try to find a way to make this happen. And you're right. He can't be by himself. But as we've seen, even in recent years, like say with the Mavericks, with Luka and Kyrie, you can get it done with two stars and still have a functioning crew around him, including former Bulls center Daniel Gafford, to make it to the finals.
Is Josh Giddey enough of a star to go alongside Giannis? They both need the ball in their hands.
Dare to dream, Bulls. Maybe you should figure it out and see for yourselves. I know just the coach who could probably get it done. You have him.
I think the Bulls have a Cubs problem. The Cubs have a Bulls problem. They're not willing to do the stuff that's necessary to win it all.
If this isn't compelling enough, we need to examine the Sahadev Sharma report that came out about Dylan Cease. Because if this is true, it really makes me wonder what the Cubs' plans are for the future of their team. And frankly, it asks a lot of questions about who's doing what long term. I need you to look into the way future next when you hear the details about his story coming up. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium, unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think that there is a legitimate possibility for Kyle Tucker and the Toronto Blue Jays. And one of the reasons, by the way, it's just a 23-mile drive from Plant High School in the great city of Tampa, Florida, to the Blue Jays spring training complex in Dunedin. So, for Kyle Tucker, that's just around the block. That is his hometown.
That is John Baldarossi on MLB Network. JP off and on with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score. This is Raheemy Harris and Grody. And yes, that is one of the reports that came out. Kyle Tucker spotted visiting the Blue Jays facility in Florida yesterday. I don't think it's any surprise that he's going to talk to teams that aren't the Cubs.
Did you feel anything when you read that report? Like, did
I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Right. There was no...
Get some poutine. Maybe some Tim Hortons if you're feeling it.
I think we understand what it's going to be, and definitely we understand more so what it's not going to be. It's not going to be Kyle Tucker back in a Cubs uniform.
And my original thought to all of this after I saw the Blue Jays sign Dylan Cease, and you see that the Blue Jays are talking to Kyle Tucker, is they don't care that they got to Game 7 of the World Series. They want more. Getting to Game 7 wasn't enough for them. Getting within a whisper of winning the World Series wasn't enough for them. That's why they went out and got Dylan Cease, and that's why they're talking to Kyle Tucker. Spending whatever money wasn't enough for them. They wanted to spend more. So Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic had this nugget regarding the Dylan Cease acquisition, and it's something that you expect to see when you hear about who may have been in the mix after the deal was done. Quote, according to a league source, the Cubs were in on Dylan Cease, but bowed out as the bidding reached the $200 million mark. Cease eventually signed a 7-year, $200 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. A chunk of the deal was deferred, a practice that the Cubs have avoided in recent years, which got me thinking, why? Why have they avoided deferring? If the big name teams like the Dodgers, famously the Shohei Ohtani contract, if they're deferring, or if other major teams are deferring, if the halves of baseball are Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, in my mind, the Cubs are still one of the halves. Does this say something about their future?
When you say, does it say something about their future, what do you think it would indicate?
That maybe they don't want an owner and their next owner to pick up the books with all that of deferred money on it. That was my first thought. I'm not saying they're selling the team. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm asking, why would that be a problem down the line?
I don't think it is a problem for teams that have money. As long as you have revenue streams.
Well, if I'm thinking the Cubs have money.
Are you right, though? Do they have money? Do they have the financial flexibility that we kind of assume that they have, being, you know, the Cubs in the third largest market in the country?
Now, Sahadev's next paragraph said this: there appears to be a willingness to once again add a big money pitcher to the rotation. I'm hoping that wasn't Shota Imanaga with a raise. But $22 million per is up there for the Cubs yearlies. Dansby's at what, like 27?
Is there any doubt now, when you look at it, that the Cubs having to pay Shota Imanaga directly affected their ability to get Dylan Cease?
I'm still wondering why that happened. I'm worried. The worst case scenario as to why that happened is they thought that Shota Imanaga would go elsewhere and that they would get a draft pick as compensation. That didn't happen.
It's simply not worth the risk. And that's played out that way. It was not worth the risk for them to offer the qualifying offer if getting Imanaga back under contract prohibited you from paying the required money for a swing and miss high-powered arm like Dylan Cease. We are seeing the Blue Jays get close to getting the bite of the apple they want, the World Series title, and when they didn't get it, they said, okay, we will go back to the drawing board and we will do it again, but with better players. The Cubs, meanwhile, couldn't get past the Brewers and have not shown a willingness to re-up and go harder and stronger just to get back to, I don't know, the NLCS.
According to SpotRack, Dansby Swanson's payroll for 2026 is $28 million. So I was a mil off. The base is 27, but his signing bonus factors in. So that's where that came in. Shota Imanaga is, according to this, the next highest payer. Highest paid player at 22. Then it's Seiya Suzuki at 19, Ian Happ at 19, Jameson Taillon 18, Matthew Boyd, congratulations on making Team USA, $17 million. Nico Horner then is at 12. Justin Steele comes back at 6.7. There's an arbitration there. And then it's Colin Ray, Phil Maton, who they just got 5.5. So in there, you see the list of names. And when you consider that it's relative to who's active and on the team, I don't necessarily mind it. Like, I think they can... Shohei Minaga shouldn't be a pox on how much they're willing to spend. But it's the concept of the deferral that gets to me when it comes to other teams being able to do it. Usually in sports, teams in similar scenarios will follow the same practice. They will follow suit once one team does it and shows that they can do that. The Dodgers know that they'll have the team for a long time. So that's why I just wondered, well, why would you guys not be okay with that idea?
I think we need to get answers on that. And
you avoided that practice?
As more teams do it, I think the Cubs would have to fall in line. But right now, I think the problem is the Cubs are operating in this void, this vacuum, where they feel like they're making moves without understanding what other teams are doing. And that's costing them in a competitive way in free agency, just like you could argue it cost them at the trade deadline last year, and more importantly, free agency last time around. I need to know that they learned from last year's free agency experience that it's going to take more than what they did last time to get the players that they want to help them become a better team.
Now, they had retained payroll that they had to be concerned about. Last year in 2025, there was dead money payroll when it came to Colin Ray and Justin Turner in a way, but that was because of options. So SpotRack does their accounting a little bit differently than how you would normally see it. It makes sense when you look at it, but it's kind of hard to explain in a short amount of time. It's worth a look at SpotRack if you want to check it out for yourself. You can look up the Chicago Cubs payroll table for 2025 and then what is projected for 2026.
2027 looks real fun, huh? Because it's blank, largely blank.
Let's check on the Cubs real quick, because I don't think that's the case. For some teams, it is. Let's see. They have 5 players now listed on the payroll for 27. Dansby, Matthew Boyd, Carson Kelly, Colin Ray, and Phil Maton.
That's pretty blank.
Phil gets a raise. He goes up to 6 that year.
I can't wait to see what happens in 2027. Because 2026 is looking like a wash for the Cubs.
Well, you know who also can't wait? Dylan Cease. Because now he can't wait for like 2034 either, thanks to his payroll.
All the money.
I don't know. I want to know. Why aren't they doing this if everybody else is? Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to Football After Dark at Moretti's in Edison Park on Tuesday, December 16th with special guest Noah Sewell, hosted by me, Layla Rahimi. It's all sponsored by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com and brought to you by Remy Martin, VSOP. This is my city. We've decided to unveil a special segment here that we're going to have going on Rahimi Harrison Grody. Whether or not you like it, the Bears are in the hunt. They're the number one seed in the NFC. So we can talk about playoff opponents potentially. Who better to look at than in their own division? Lions and Packers, you're up. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on The Score.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business? You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.